There are groups who refuse to talk to other groups, and we are totally a house divided. Well, it can't stand. Lincoln said that, and everybody else knows it. And this is a very, very sad thing. We have an enemy out there, as Ted Friedman said. We have a real situation. We have a regime that is trying to do away with every institution we hold dear. And we're sitting here like little bugs in a cockroach fight. Well, my side is better. We have invective spewed out on the internet, signed peace so-and-so.
Right.
And I am indicting everyone in the whole institution, inside the station, outside the station, the factions that are supposed to be my side, whatever that is, the factions who are on the other side. And I'm indicting myself because I haven't been able to stop it, and I have seen it happen. We are going back to where we were in a secret, top-down sort of a way, and we have to stop this and come together. If you hate somebody, for Christ's sake, go and have lunch with him. Say hello. Have coffee. Don't turn your back. We have to stop. We have to begin being the pacifists we pretend to be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, before the next speaker
Linda.
Comes up, I want to comment that Mary Berg is the excellent secretary of the National Audit Committee.
Excellent. Thank you.
Linda.
I cede my time to Bob English.
Bob English, huh?
Thank you. I appreciate much of what Mary said, and I hope that she and her colleagues on our LSB will work in that direction. Before I was trying to read from this community statement about positive things that Pacifica management and boards can do, what Pacifica management and boards can do about the problem of violence and abusive behavior in Pacifica. We think that they're responsible for establishing and maintaining a safe workplace and meeting environment with effective prevention, correction, and eradication of violence, abusive, and hostile conduct. 2, effective investigation and resolution of incidents and complaints of violence and abuse. 3, competent, effective, skilled, accountable managers and administrative staff who are experienced and trained in personnel matters, peaceful conduct resolution, and problem solving. 4, standard personnel administration policies, procedures, practices, structures, and applications for investigations, hearings, appeals, and progressive discipline, including counseling, with transparency or confidentiality as needed and appropriate. 5, board oversight and review of personnel policies, structure, and administration in public session with listener participation, and oversight of incident investigation and resolution, which would be confidential. Now, when we've tried to bring our concerns and these suggestions to our LSB, they have 2 months in a row refused to even discuss the issue in public session. And before they go into executive session, we've asked them, well, can't you talk about this in public session? In fact, that's my suggestion for here. When you discuss anything in executive session, unless it's something strictly confidential, you should have a public session on the same topic as to what you can discuss in public. Now, we're just dismayed at the refusal of our board to consider this issue. At one meeting, we refused to leave. Some of us, many listeners, refused to leave the meeting until they discussed it. We did leave the meeting when they promised to take up the issue at their next meeting. We came back. They refused to do it again. And their response was to hire a security guard as well as an $80 an hour parliamentarian to help the chair. So a security guard, maybe that's common at BAI, but as I said, we don't want to replicate that environment in other Pacifica stations.
Thank you.
Steve Seltzer. Okay. Seltzer, and then I can't read the first name, but the last name is Milner.
Nicole.
Yeah, I don't know what your agenda is as far as programming the rest of the year, this coming months, but it seems to us that we should have an agenda. Pacifica needs to have an agenda. And what we've suggested, we have a labor collective. What we suggested is a national day of programming on Labor Day from around the country of workers, the attack on workers' right to organize. We've talked with the AFL-CIO. They're interested. They're union people all over the country. Why don't we get the stations together and start bringing the community and union people together and have some national days of programming? On March the 17th, we proposed a national day of programming on the war abroad and the war at home. Bring all the stations into this. Have people from the different stations. Have recorded reports. Have an agenda and broadcast it nationally. This is something we can do. We can involve community stations. We can involve the labor movement, the anti-war movement. But I think you need a strategy. You need a vision to do that. And I don't see that coming out of here. When people talk about an agenda for Pacifica, I think it has to be what we need to do in relationship to the crisis that we're in. Most of the national programming has been congressional hearings. That's the national programming agenda. Well, I don't have a problem covering it, but you can get that actually on PBS and KQED and cable, many people. What we need is our own agenda to address the issues, and we have to reach out to the community. The other thing that is very important is, as we digitalize, there are going to be four channels available on each station, going from analog to digital. We're proposing a national labor channel, and link up all the labor programming nationally. Get all the labor news that's being produced at the Pacifica stations, bring it together in a weekly show, Pacifica National Labor News. Have it on that channel, and we can reach out and include the labor movement. The struggle that's going on in the AFL-CIO in Chicago, we should be covering that nationally. And people will listen. People will pay attention to this. I don't see that kind of vision. And as far as the leadership and an executive director, you need a director, in my view, that has a perspective, that has a vision, that has a strategy of what needs to be covered. Thank you.
Nicole Milner and Ingrid Turner.
My name is Nicole Milner. I first of all want to thank everybody on this board and on the local station boards for doing all that they do. I know it's a huge amount of work and you get paid a lot for it, but we thank you anyway. What I want to say is that I feel like one of the problems I see here at KPFA is that there's a huge amount of hyperbole. When I hear about violence in the last year, where I've been paying attention for that, I know that something happened. Some chairs were thrown. People's voices got loud. This shouldn't happen. That's not a good atmosphere to work in. It needs to be dealt with. But I feel like what I hear, and it's not just on this issue, I hear opinions get so exaggerated over to the one direction or another, and from the various factions, they kind of go all the way with it. And the truth is lost in the middle. I'd like to see a lot more subtlety. The newspapers show that when the articles come out, they're just like the places, you know, is falling apart at the seams. Look for the kernels of truth, work on those, but it doesn't do Pacifica any good, KPFA any good, to have it exaggerated for whatever reasons people are doing that.
Thank you so much. Ingrid?
Hi, please excuse my voice right now, and excuse my corporate shirt, I'm in the middle of laundry. I am here speaking, I guess, as one of the younger people in support of Hard Knock Radio. I understand that there's some issues around how Hard Knock Radio is trying to fund itself, and that the board wants to implement more control over that. I think that when it comes to youth movements, you can't really control young people. And if anything, we're the breath of fresh air in Pacific Radio. I am a board member. I pay money. I'm not a board member, but I'm a voting member. I pay money to listen to this show. And I got to tell you, if it wasn't for Hard Knock Radio, I would not listen to Pacifica Broadcast. Even though they had a really good thing on there with John Conyers busting out the president, I can get that on C-SPAN. I want this station to be more responsive to young people. Don't be afraid of us. We bring good energy. We bring life. You know, that's what we're here for. I used to run an underground radio station. I said, well, let me go back to school and let me support what's already in place, because we need to stop factionalizing ourselves within the left. But don't leave the young people out. Don't mess with Hard Knock Radio, because then what dude said about the age going up, y'all going to be 2 feet in the grave if you do that. So I'm asking you, I'm begging y'all to don't mess with what works. Hard Knock Radio works. That's when I called in to donate my portion, was when I heard Davey D. Nim. And I'm just here to tell you, it inspired me to register 30 people to vote. You just don't know what y'all be doing. And this is like Pacific Radio is like the last bastion of honesty and truth in the United States. Now that NPR and the public broadcasting system is going under, this is our chance to rise up and really tell the truth. I think we should capitalize on that. I think that labor guy is right. We need to incorporate all of that. We are the left, and if we would just be the real deal Holyfield left, people would join us.
Tamara Shaw. Ms. Shaw.
Hi. My name is Sumaira Shaw, and I'm also a young person and community member here in support of Hard Knock Radio. I just really want to express my strong support for the show. I've been a listener of Hard Knock Radio for years, and just like our last speaker, it's literally one of the only reasons I tune into KPFA. And I think it's imperative that if KPFA and Pacifica Radio want a strong youth audience and credibility within the young youth community, not only here in the Bay Area but nationally, that you really support Hard Knock Radio. I mean, I know a lot of young people who are my peers who also would not tune in to KPFA or Pacifica if it wasn't for Hard Knock Radio. I really think it's the biggest draw that young people have to the station, especially young people of color. I mean, I really, you know, see that the rest of the programming kind of lacks that appeal, and it's really, really important that funds and other resources are placed, you know, in support of Hard Knock to really maintain that youth audience. Because, I mean, if you look around the room, it's kind of obvious, you know, that there's a group of people here that are missing, okay? And so, you know, it's really important that, you know, Hard Knock Radio is sustained and, you know, not only sustained but built up to be vibrant and a lot more vibrant than it already is with, you know, the meager resources that they have now and have had. And I can also speak as a co-founder of Michael Fronti and Spearhead's 911 Power to the Peaceful Festival, which last year attracted over 45,000 people into Golden Gate Park. And we've consistently been supported by Hard Knock, you know, and without them, we wouldn't be able to broadcast what we do there, which is usually pretty much under the radar with other, you know, mainstream media sources to young people. And beyond that, I'm also co-producer of the Not in Our Name Anti-War Benefit, which was held at Berkeley Community Theater. And again, Hard Knock was there and was our were our partners, and they, you know, provide a live broadcast. So I can speak from experience working with Hard Knock personally and as a listener that, you know, they really need to be supported. And without that, it's not going to look good for young people in Pacifica Radio. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Max Blanchett, Tanya Brennan.
My name is Max Blanchett. I'm a member of the LSB. I'd like to bring something to your attention. It's a real ambiguity in the bylaws. It has to do with the overlapping responsibilities that the LSB and the executive director have for assessing the performance of the general manager. I'll give you a simple example. A month and a half ago, when we developed a certain problem at KPFA, I won't give you any more detail on that because of confidentiality requirements, some of us approached the executive director and asked that the LSB be involved in the process. We were told very politely, but in no uncertain terms, that the LSB should stay out of it on account of advice received from the Council of Pacifica. Again, the basis of it was confidentiality. We were taken aback by it, but we accepted it. There was no other choice. And mysteriously and very fortunately, a month and a half later, the ED changed his mind and invited us into the process. I still don't understand what happened. Perhaps he had an epiphany on his way to Damascus. I'm not sure. But it seems to me that if there is policy in this place that maybe clarified his thinking, you need to communicate that to folks. This is a very serious issue and a very pressing one. I think we probably set a precedent here at KPFA, but more thought needs to be given to that. Perhaps the bylaws convention will address that issue. But in the meantime, you could clarify things. And you, if your brilliant counsel came up with some ruling on the matter, please let us know. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Tanya Brennan.
I'm Tanya Brennan with Purple Berets. At the end of last month, Solange Echevarria was forced off flashpoints when she complained of badgering and abusive behavior, discriminatory behavior, by Dennis Bernstein. Solange was just the latest of a number of women who have been forced off flashpoints. As a listener, I listened to them come, and within 6 months, I listened to them go. And when you look into all of those women left because they complained of sex discrimination and abusive behavior by Bernstein. And they were told, in Noelle Hanrahan's case, who just filed a lawsuit because she couldn't get you to do anything, she was told, if you continue with your grievance, this is only going to get worse. And there are no complaints in your personnel file now, but if you continue with your grievance, there will be. At the same time, men who get in fistfights are promoted and are now reporting on the war in Baghdad and from the Washington, D.C. office, while women who dare to whistleblow on sex discrimination in our progressive, and I use the word loosely, radio station, lose their careers. These women's careers are over. I just want to remind you that sex discrimination is illegal. This is 2005. It's not 1955. Sex discrimination is illegal. Retaliation for reporting sex discrimination is illegal. And Pacifica, it's going to land on your table. So it is time to clean this up. Dennis Bernstein needs to go. How many feminist voices are we going to lose in order to coddle this serial abuser? Roy Campanella needs to go. When Solange made her complaints to him, he said, you better find another job. We have to take care of creative personalities like Dennis because he brings in all the money. I promise you, before this is over, he's going to cost you more than he raises. It's time to take care of sex discrimination at KPFA and in Pacifica. Thank you.
Tanya Brannon.
Ibrahim Gonzalez and Otis McClary. McClay.
Okay. Well, good afternoon. And as a producer at WBAI, my concerns were for the listeners. So last night on In the Moment, I had listeners stump their views for the PNB meeting, and the overwhelming concern of the listeners was about the threat to freedom of speech at WBAI and at Pacifica. The most recent example of Robert Knight having been removed without process from his program Earthwatch is one in a series of situations where WBAI, without any process for programming, has made decisions that have been detrimental to the airwaves of our station. The program committee and the program council at WBAI are organizations without teeth. We have a make-believe union for unpaid staff called USOC, the Union for Unpaid Staff Organizing Committee. I advocate for a national union for producers throughout Pacifica, a national union that will advocate for the rights of producers to be able to do good radio. And also, I've never heard of any not-for-profit organization not having a development department or a development director. It is an abysmal mistake in terms of finances to try to run an organization that will just live on the largesse of donors. Donor fatigue is one of the reasons that these failure drives will run the station to the ground. WBAI, as other not-for-profit organizations, desperately needs alternative means of raising funds. How much time do I have left? We cannot continue to take the blame as producers for the failure of these fund drives when management is not doing its part to raise money for the station, as it should with a development director. The other thing is that the factionalism at the station has insinuated itself to all levels of the operation of the radio station, whether it be on the governance boards, whether it be in management, or in the producer organizations. Factionalism must come to an end so that we can get to the business of doing real radio.
Thank you. Otis McClay and Robert Knight.
Prestigious company. I wanted to say something a little different. I want to remind everybody what we do. What we do is radio. Most of the people that we relate to hear us on the radio. That's what we do. And I want to say that we, this was in respect to the national programming that was brought up. Was it Thursday? We had, no, Wednesday. Yeah, Thursday we had that Conyers hearing about the Downing Street memorandum, the Downing Street minutes. I looked at what was going on the Internet, because we can see how many people are listening on the Internet. We can't do that on the radio, but it gives us a sense of how many people are listening. KPFA has 1,200 streams. There were 1,200 people listening, which meant that even more wanted to hear it. KPFT has 120 streams. It used to be set at 80, but we increased it because when we had the national conventions, that maxed out. We maxed out at 120 streams. Eva told me that KPFK's website had 250,000 hits that day. People want to hear radio. They want to hear the kind of news that everybody here has been talking about, things that aren't heard anywhere else, and that's what we do. And it is really important, in my opinion, for us to remember that that's what we do. We do radio. What was the other thing I wanted to say? I don't remember. But people want to hear that. That's what we do. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got three other persons before we close out. Robert Knight, Barbara Epstein, and Amelia Gonzalez-Garcia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Greetings to the board, and thank you for allowing me this moment. I shall attempt to speak briefly because I just got in last night in the middle of the night. I am jet-lagged, and I'm also gagged. I am gagged from the air on WBAI because of a new regime that is even worse than the one during 2001, where there was a gag rule, but now there is a secret punitive gag rule. Court orders said that we did not have that at WBAI, and yet it is fully in effect. I am gagged. I have been gagged for a month from a procedure to address the false, scurrilous, libelous charges made by station manager Don Rojas against myself because of interference from the old regime inside the Pacifica administrative body. I have been gagged from defending my reputation and those of others who have tried in their best heart to restore this institution and in particular the New York station to the principles of Pacifica. The statements that have been made by Don Rojas have been prolific, violative of my employee confidentiality, and thoroughly false, and have placed this institution in significant legal liability and jeopardy. Suffice it to say that what Don Rojas has said about me is a pack of damn lies. Now, I'd like to say that under the current administration of the former WBAI station manager, the former Pacifica executive director, and the current program director, that WBAI has become an opportunistic hotbed of racial antagonism that seeks to place in power a certain crew of people who do not represent the fullness of our audience, and that has been reflected in the loss of 13 marathons in a row, 13 fundraisers in a row that have failed under this divide, this division of the audience. This is worse than when Utrice Lead was manager. This is a period referred to as retrenchment.
Time.
I'm sorry, but you're
I
out
would
of
just
time.
Thank you. I would just like to I conclude with a warning that I brought to the board months ago in March of this year, when certain affairs were happening, and I'll just quote that. I'll have a fuller statement tomorrow. At that time, I stated to the board and to the executive director,
time.
I genuinely believe WBAI is in daily danger of descending deeper into a behavioral and programmatic regime which serves the interests of current management through intellectual retrenchment, cronyism, lies, hostility, and cultural division. If unchecked, the current strategy will further alienate cross-cultural audience participation, further reduce financial support, further jeopardize network stability, and ultimately compromise the commitment to Pacifica's founding principles with which we have been entrusted.
Thank you. Time. Barbara Epstein, Amelia Gonzalez-Garcia.
I'm
I'm a KPFA listener. I've been a listener for, what, probably three decades, something like that. I wanted to endorse the remarks that Mary Berg made earlier about the need for more rational discussion surrounding KPFA. I am not involved in, I'm not on the local board, I'm not on any KPFA committees. Part of the reason for that is that the listener politics surrounding KPFA are so unpleasant that they drive many people away. Ad hominem attacks, particularly on staff members, but also on other people, circulate on the internet. There is a tone used in discussion that is shrill, self-righteous, sectarian. It reminds me of the worst days of the left in the late 60s when everybody went a bit crazy, or maybe it was the early 70s. And it makes me think that there are people who haven't learned anything who are still using that style, which I think was a big problem then, and I think that it's pernicious and destructive now. I think that the left was able to afford it then because we had the Vietnam War, frankly, propelling an anti-war movement, and we could make all the mistakes we wanted to. And these days, I don't think we can afford to make lots of mistakes. So my message to you is, I don't think, and I'm not saying this obviously about all people who participate as member listeners, but I do think that what presents itself as being representative of the listeners to KPFA is not necessarily representative. Now, I'm not sure that it's possible for such a large listenership to actually be represented. I think it's a utopian dream that, you know, there could actually be an active democratic listenership. But I really think that claims to represent the listenership in the name of, you know, sectarian politics should be taken with a grain of salt.
Thank you so much. Emilia Garcia.
Can you repeat the name?
Emilia Gonzalez Garcia. This one I can read.
Hi, thank you for letting me speak. I'm a staff member of KPFA. I just wanted to first and foremost have you see us and see a lot of the young folks, a lot of the diverse staff that works at KPFA. A lot of times we get named entrenched, you know, folks that don't want to make change and so forth. And I wanted to let you know that we do want change, that we do look different, that we aren't, a lot of us are not entrenched, and we care deeply about KPFA. We care about the well-being of the station, and for this reason, we'd like the following issues to be resolved properly. By law, we're supposed to be guaranteed a workplace free of harassment and threats of violence. But currently, that's not the case at KPFA, and we need to be able to count on the leadership of Pacifica and KPFA to take care of that and to remedy that immediately. We don't want to see good people leave. KPFA is an institution founded on social justice. We know our listeners care deeply about labor rights and should be concerned that the mission be fulfilled, and we hope that the board also feels that it's important to take care of the workers at the station. Thank you.
Thank you. As we close out public comment, I want to say to you that we value your opinions. Sometimes it seems like we are not responsive. Part of the problem you have picked up, and that is these bylaws that I think are restrictive. That's my personal opinion. And it causes us to do things that we shouldn't do. And I'm hoping that the bylaws convention that will be called later on this year will deal with that, because there has to be clear responsibility on the part of those who manage this corporation to do what is best for those who we serve. The only reason we are here is to serve the listenership who support us. And there are certain things that I've done because I'm free. I'm a lot freer than most of the board members here because I am not and have never been a part of any faction. And I was elected by a write-in vote. So I'm free. And most of my board members know I'm free. And there are other board members who are the same way, regardless of who sent them here. And you ought to know that. And we're going to try our best to address the serious issues facing Pacifica and create and implement a vision for Pacifica that I'm sure we're all concerned about. And I want to thank you so much for your participation. This session is closed, and we're going to be having lunch and come back and take care of business. Point of order, Mr. Walker.
Just to let people know that there's public comment tomorrow from 2 to 3 p.m. So I know that there are a couple people that didn't get to speak. But more importantly, there are a lot of people that you might know that don't know that there's public comment tomorrow. And it'd be great to hear from voices that we haven't heard from tomorrow from 2 to 3, as well as people we have heard from.
Yes. Yes. She is speaking into the microphone. It's not, you can get it.
Okay, yeah, because I want to make copies for the directors and extra copies for.
And I'd like to ask all the board members to expend only 30 minutes and get back here so we can, because we've got a full agenda this afternoon. Dave?
I just want to quickly say, you said our only job is to serve listeners. I think one of the founding ethics of this foundation was to also serve the producers who had something to say and no place to say it. It's both things, and we're supposed to.
No, the producers are here to serve the listeners.
Well, I respectfully cite a difference of a philosophy and appreciate everybody's differences.
I just want to ask if
we're adjourned.
Yes,
I just want to ask if there's no objection to me to pay tribute to a fallen colleague of ours at WBAI.
Oh, yes.
Frieda Zames, who's a former member of the local advisory board at WBAI for about 4 years in the 90s, died last week, and at the age of 72. She was a long-time and heroic struggler for the rights of people with disabilities. And she had served that role as a leader of Disabled in Action in New York State, and had championed those issues in her service on the WBAI board. Had been one of several people helping to advise the interim national board to put in at least some of the language that finally made it into the bylaws to ensure accessibility of meetings, and also the co-author of a wonderful book that gave the history of the movement of people with disabilities. So I just want us to honor her and remember. Oh, right, that's right, and a litigant in the lawsuit against the old board that led to these elections and the whole process we have today. So I just want us to pay tribute to Frieda Zames and all of her heroic work.
Thank you so much, Bob. 30 minutes, folks.
What time are we back here?
30 minutes.
15 to the hour.
Bro, bring it back here, and we'll go and work as we eat.